Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Another episode of Speaking Literally. We are so excited to be back with you. I am Holly. You can find me at AZ Desert Bookworm on Instagram, and I am joined by none other than...
I'm Liz, and you can find me at Lizzie's Little Book Nook on Instagram.
And we are so excited to be back to be doing our second official episode of Speaking Literally, where we're going to talk about all things bookish and things that are going on in our lives and what we're reading. And, of course, we have our special Beach Reads topic that we're going to discuss today. We figured, why not? It's the middle of the summer, and people are wanting to read some beach reads and escape from reality. So let's talk about it. So
exactly.
So, Lizzie, how's life?
Yeah, good. I mean, this at the moment, the UK is currently experiencing a bit of a heat wave, so we are melting over here. We don't do so great with heat. So, but other than that, it's all good. Lots of reading and lots of reviewing. So, been updating my website a bit more. But yeah, it's been a good month. How about you? You went on holiday, and of course, you had your birthday as well.
I did. I had my birthday at the end of June, and it was really fun. I did my first Bookstagram book giveaway, so that was pretty cool. I had my daughter involved in drawing out the winning name, so that was pretty fun. And yeah, my family just came back from a couple days over at the beaches in California, and it was nice to get away, and we're back now, and, you know, as an educator, I'm getting ready to get back into, like, you know, real world and life and work. So it's been busy, and things have been good. So, you know, I can't complain too much about all this. So, Bookstagram, are you doing well with that? How's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, this month I've been trying to increase my regularity in posting because it's – I got to a point where I'd post maybe 3 times a week just because work was busy and everything. But this week I managed to post every single day, which I'm really happy about. I'm trying to catch up on doing book reviews because I fell so far behind. But yeah, it's going well, getting the engagement. How about you?
Yeah, it's the last couple of weeks have been busy with having been away on vacation and just I had to travel yesterday for work and things like that. So it definitely, you know, hasn't been the regularity that I normally have been with the Bookstagram page. But, you know, I am a little behind on posting some book reviews. So I'm going to try to get some reviews written up on my blog and on social media. So we'll see where we get with that. So speaking about all this reading that we're doing in our Bookstagrams page, you know, we're going to take a short commercial break here, and then when we come back, we're going to jump right into our What You Reading section, and we're going to talk all about the current books we're reading. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. All right, Lizzie, kick us off. Tell us about let's start with what you've recently finished.
Okay, well, the last book that I finished was a book called The Troubles With Us, which was by Alex O'Neill. Absolutely brilliant one. I'm just actually about to post a review this weekend of it. It is a memoir of Alex's life growing up in Belfast, Northern Ireland, during the Troubles. So it's a really interesting kind of insight into not only how tough it was and how quite scary it was, because there was bombings, there was attacks, there was shootings. But it's quite interesting to see just how resilient the Irish were, just going on and living day by day and not really letting it affect them so much, because it was just normal for those 20 years, 30 years. So that was an absolutely fascinating read. I compare it to, it's like an Irish Sex and City mixed with Derry Girls.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. What was the last book you've read?
So I just kind of recently finished two. So one of them was one that we're going to talk about during our beach read section, but The People We Meet on Vacation, by Emily Henry, which, you know, was really, really good. I'm not, you know, it's funny because we're doing beach reads. I'm not a huge, like, you know, traditional beach read book kind of person. I'm like, I'll read a rom-com kind of easy read every now and then, but that's not my go-to genre. But I did enjoy it. And I think the best part about it was, you know, you have these two friends who every summer they go on a vacation together. And so you get to experience those vacations of the past through this alternating timeline between present and their past. And so it's really cool because you get to go on these little trips around the world with them. And you get to see that, you know, when they first started and they're college kids and they have no money, how they made really cheap vacations happen versus when, you know, she becomes this, you know, kind of reporter, basically, more of like an influencer, a social media influencer for a very popular kind of travel magazine that they pay for everything for her trip. So they want her to go to these exotic places. So yeah, so you evolve from the pinching pennies going to New Orleans to going to like Costa Rica and, you know, Scandinavia for these like vacations no normal person could really pay, because you're going on the dime of a company. But that I really enjoyed seeing the different locations. And then of course, you know, over time their friendship. It's a friends to lovers kind of story. So if you're into that, it was really good. You know, it was written by Emily Henry, who is the same author of Beach Read. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that one actually cropped up during our little research session, that there is a book called Beach Read.
Yep.
So how can we not mention it?
Exactly. You know, and I haven't read Beach Read, but I, you know, you know, and I probably will now, because, you know, I did enjoy People We Meet on Vacation, and, you know, and yes, there were a lot of people that they met while they were on these different trips and things, but it really wasn't the focal point of the book. It really was just their time traveling together over the last 10 years and things that happened that, you know, they were so close and then they were driven apart and trying to get back together. And it was really good. It was, you know, if you're looking for an easy read, definitely go for that. On the flip side, the other book that I finished reading was A Curse So Dark and Lonely by Brigid Kemmerer. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right. But she has a series out, and, you know, it's fantasy. It was, and I didn't really read a lot. So I'm like, while I'm reading, I'm like, oh gosh, this is very reminiscent of like Beauty and the Beast. And then of course I go back and I kind of start reading some of the blurbs about it, and everything's like, it's a great retelling of Beauty and the Beast. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I guess that was the point of it then. But it was really good. It wasn't, and this is the one that I need to write my review on. But it's interesting because I read a lot of fantasy, and this one, it wasn't as, I guess the best way to say it, is powerful, or as some of those other, you know, fantasy series that are so popular, like A Court of Thorns and Roses or from Blood and Ash. Like, those just have power behind them when you read them. This one, I feel, doesn't quite have that power that those other two series do, but I enjoyed it. Like, it was a much easier read. So it's almost, to keeping in tune to our theme this week, I think it would be a great fantasy beach read. So if you're into fantasy beach reads, I think this would be a better one than something that's a little bit more powerful.
Yeah, I think with fairy tale retellings, it can be risky. Mm-hmm. Either you get it right or you get it terribly wrong. So I think it can be a very kind of iffy subject. So it's good that one was good. I have heard a lot of good things about that book. So I've got to admit that one is on my TBR already.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is it was just book one. And when it ended, I'm like, I'm intrigued to see where she continues going with the book. Because it was almost like it could have ended and not had a sequel or even a third book. Because I think there's three at least right now. So I'm kind of intrigued to see where the storyline goes, because it wasn't a cliffhanger like some of those books are. So I think that's gonna be interesting. What are you currently reading?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
So currently I'm actually reading one of my NetGalley reads, an arc called The Lock-In by Phoebe Luckhurst. It's a bit of a kind of a contemporary rom-com. So again, it would fit in the traditional beach reads, but it's about a group of housemates and a housemate's date who gets stuck, locked up in a loft, in an attic, and the bottom of the house is flooding and they've got themselves stuck up there, and it's all about how they get out and how they manage the situation. So yeah, The Lock-In. It's quite interesting. I'm about 80% of the way through, so I'll probably finish it today. But it's good fun. It's just a nice kind of light, easy read. And I'm also listening to an audiobook by Matt Haig called Notes on a Nervous Planet, which is more about kind of mental health, social media, and kind of the way mental health is portrayed in the world and things like that. So because Matt Haig's done a lot of books on mental health, he did be... I can't remember the name of the other one, but he's done quite a few in the series. Something like Being Happy or something like that. But it was really interesting because he suffers quite badly with mental health and with depression. Mm-hmm. It's called Reasons to Stay Alive. He also wrote The Midnight Library, which was a brilliant read. I thoroughly enjoyed that book. But this is more his nonfiction writing, which This one I'm struggling with. It's a bit more kind of preachy, rather than talking about it. And he repeats the same things like a lot of the time. So it's a bit harder, but it's not bad. So what are you currently reading at the moment, Holly?
So I am currently reading an arc called We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang. It comes out next month, in early August. And it's really about a family. It's a bunch of family dynamics, but you have a girl who – they're adults. So I don't know why I said girl, but we have a woman who she ends up leaving her family in New York and goes to California trying to kind of escape the pressures of this very close-knit, everybody like is basically in the same house kind of family, only to end up getting in a really bad car accident and having to go home. And so, you know, when she left, it had been 5 years since she left, and she left very abruptly. She had a longtime boyfriend, and so in 5 years, a lot of things have changed, and she came back unannounced. So it's trying to kind of reestablish herself and get reacquainted with her family and come to terms with things that had happened in her life in the past, and then just all of the little conflicts that are happening with her family members. Like, you know, there's, you know, she has, you know, a brother who's having, you know, marital issues, and you know, her other brother has a mental disability. And so just trying to get back into terms of this kind of high demanding family that, you know, and feeling guilty for having left and abandoned them when for so long she was the one who was trying to take care of everybody. So it's really it's a good, interesting read. It's, you know, it sounds like it's pretty heavy, but it's been a pretty light read.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I am reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who also wrote a couple other books that we'll talk about in a little bit. And that was a book that I didn't really know much about, but I saw it a lot on social media. Bookstagram made me do it books. And which is kind of cool. It's been really interesting because it basically is Evelyn Hugo is this, she's older, she's like in her 80s, but she is telling her life as basically a Hollywood starlet, and her rise to fame as a Hollywood actress in the 50s and 60s. And so she's, in essence, she's recruited this kind of no-name reporter to tell her story to. And so really the bulk of the book is just hearing the narrative of this old actress's life from time she was 14 to where she is now. Kind of like you with your current read, I'm about 80, pretty close to the end, I'm about 86% of the way done. I would say I probably only have about maybe 50 or so pages. So I'll probably get to finish this weekend, but it's really good. I mean, I can see it's definitely one of those books where I think people are either going to like it or not really feel connected to it, because it really is just, because it's the narration, you still have dialogue because the narration still comes across as like current action and people interacting with each other, but there's not a ton of the present day interaction with Evelyn Hugo and the reporter girl that she's pulled in to tell her story to. But I'm enjoying it, so.
Nice. Yeah, I have had a lot of good things about that book. That's definitely obviously one that I really want to read as well. And just going back to the We Are the Brennans, I remember you sharing the book cover earlier this week, and I really like it. It's just so simplistic with just the shamrocks. It's really nice.
It is. It's and you know, it's funny because they're four leaf clovers. Oh no, maybe not. They looked like four leaf clovers at the beginning, but now that I look at it, because I'm like, the four leaf clovers would have, you know, I mean, clovers in general, you think of luck and things, and
and the Irish.
Yes, and the Irish, and which they are an Irish family, so you know, so that
makes
connection
sense.
Is there, so that makes sense too. It's a beautiful book cover, because, and I think what makes it so beautiful is just the simplicity, like you said, of it.
Mm.
You know, you didn't when you talked about your books you recently finished. You didn't mention Grapes of Wrath. I'm pretty sure you just finished that.
I finished that one about a few weeks ago now, and it was 8th of July, so about, it feels like it's been longer, but it's only been about a week and a half. I think I've kind of mentally blocked that out. it was interesting. I like Steinbeck's style. Of Mice and Men, I really enjoyed it when I studied it at school. It had a really nice kind of storyline. But this one was just misery and more misery. There was no kind of silver lining. There was no little ray of hope at the end of the tunnel, or even ray of light. So, yeah, it was hard. It was sort of book we finished and you just were like, oh, I'm so glad it's done. And you just feel absolutely drained, emotionally drained. As I say, I liked the writing style, but it was very slow and it was emotionally draining. So it's not really something I'd read again.
So, and you read it as a buddy read. Do you think that if you had not read it as a buddy read, would you have finished it?
It definitely helped to get through it. Doing the buddy read, it's nice to have that support to kind of keep going. And also it gives you a reason to keep going. I have an issue where I can't DNF a book. I find it really hard. I get like so guilty about thinking about DNFing a book. So I don't think I probably would have DNF'd it, but I think I probably would have taken longer and maybe kind of ended up starting another book and that one being left behind. So a kind of accidental, permanent kind of postponement.
Oh, that's so nice for you not to finish a book, but just permanently postpone it.
Yeah, I did that a while ago with Ulysses, and I told myself that one day I'll go back to it. But yeah, that was a few years ago. I think I got about a quarter of the way through the James Joyce novel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I haven't gone back yet. Yeah. I have certain ones that I accidentally or like just go onto a different book for a bit and let it kind of go back to the bookshelf for a little bit, just to have a little cool down, a little calm down, a little time out.
That can be really beneficial though too, like if it's a tough book, like, you know, taking a break away from it for a little bit, you know, and then going back to it really rejuvenates.
The problem is when you get back to it, most of the time you forget what's happened. Unless it's like a really good storyline, which if it's a good storyline, you're not going to stop reading it.
I hear you. I get you on that one. All right. So new and upcoming releases. So there are some books that were just recently released this past week on like July 13th-ish. So one of them is The Final Girl Support Group by Grady Hendrix. And that's one I'm seeing a lot on social media. There's been a lot of you know, posts about people reading that book. And Grady Hendrix has written a couple other ones. His other big one that I've seen a lot about was The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires. That one had come out a while ago. But The Final Girl Support Group really is about a girl who survived a massacre. And so she is part of this support group for, then there's, I guess, five other girls, or a total of five girls in the support group who've all suffered like massive survival kind of situations like she did. And then the therapist, and at some point one of those girls goes missing. And so then it becomes this, you know, what's going on? Are, you know, they all going to die now? Is kind of like when I read about it, I thought of like the movie Final Destination. I think that's what it's called. When it's like the groups of young, like teenagers or young adults, I haven't watched it in years, like survive accidents and things that should have killed them. And so then they, you know, so then like the world is against them and fate is against them. So then they end up finding themselves in all these situations because they weren't supposed to survive, and they did. That's kind of like the feel I got just from reading the excerpts of it. But I'm seeing a lot of great things on social media about it. What's another one that's coming out?
I've got to admit that... Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I've seen a lot of... There's a lot of press on Grady Hendrix's previous books, so it'd be really interesting to see what this one's like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there? There's another book coming out. Liz, you want to talk about it? By a very popular, well-known author.
Yeah, so we've got another one from the horror genius that is Stephen King. That comes out in America and UK on August the 3rd, and it's called Billy Summers. And now this one isn't actually a horror, which is interesting. It's a little bit different from what we're used to from Stephen, so it'll be interesting to see what it's like. But it's about Billy Summers, who is a hitman, and he wants to get out of the business, but he has to do this one last job. And they have the most cliched line in the blurb ever, which is, "What could possibly go wrong?" which is followed by "How about everything?" So it's really interesting. They describe it as a part war story, part love letter to small town America and to the people who live there. So it does sound quite intriguing. I mean, I am a little bit wary just because Stephen King excels most at the horror genre. So I don't know how he'll do with this part war story, part love letter, but it does sound like it'd be a very interesting plot line.
Interesting, and Stephen King is such an intriguing author. Like, he is pretty diverse, but I think we all know him for, the horror movies and the horror
books.
Yeah,
his obviously his best area is his best genre is horror, no doubt about it.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to be intrigued in seeing what the response is to this
book. Yeah, definitely. That'd be really interesting to see some reviews.
Yeah. And so, and obviously there's one more we're going to talk about, but we already mentioned We Are the Brennans. That's coming out in August as well by Tracy Lang. So that's the one that I'm currently reading. But then there's another one that just came out this past week in the United States. I believe it's been out now for a little bit longer in the UK.
But it's been out for a few weeks.
Has it? Okay. But it's The Startup Life by Tamima Anam. And it sounds interesting, and but it's really about these two people, Asha and Cyrus. They're newlyweds, and they get together and they kind of build an app, and it apparently replaces religious rituals. So that's kind of an interesting concept. Not quite sure what an app would look like that does that. So, but basically, it brings them overnight fame. So here they are, these newlyweds, and they create this new platform where millions of people are going to it to seek personalized rituals, things for themselves. So it then becomes like, will their marriage survive the pressure of this fame? And so it talks a little bit about, faith and how faith plays a role in people's lives, as well as the impact technology can have on our lives and in our relationships. And really, this is kind of like the culture we live in with technology nowadays. Like, everybody is trying to like create apps and do stuff with technology and get themselves out there. And, but are there downfalls to technology, and, is it always the best thing to do, and what impact can it then have on, a relationship? So it sounds like a very intriguing book.
It does sound interesting. And just also a heads up as well, the book that I did mention, The Lock-In, that comes out on Thursday on the 22nd of July. So that's why I'm trying to read it now before it comes out. That's by Phoebe Luckhurst.
Awesome. So we're reading two books that are coming out soon and that we would both recommend. And then, of course, there are these, Stephen King is always going to be one that people are going to be drawn to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So there are some good books that have just recently come out this past week or are getting ready to come out in the next, couple of weeks before our next episode of Speaking Literally, which drops August 16th. Just want to put that plug in here now. Which we're already looking forward to. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, our August episode at the end, to give you some little teasers to get you excited about that. All right. Wow. So we're reading some pretty good books right now.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good month. I mean, there's been a few little dips in June for reading, but no, July has started strong. As I say, The Troubles With Us, my last read, was absolutely brilliant. I think that's so far my favorite book of the month so far. Awesome. What would be your favorite book you've read so far in July? I know it's obviously been 17 days.
Let's see. So I would probably have to say, because I'm going to go just really on not the books that I'm almost done with, but the two that I have finished in July, which would be A Curse. So Dark and Lonely and People We Meet on Vacation, and they're so different. But I would probably go with A Curse, So Dark and Lonely.
Okay.
There were a couple things that personally I just didn't connect with People We Meet on Vacation. Of course, fantasy is my go-to genre, so I'm always going to kind of probably lean towards that. I would say A Curse, So Dark and Lonely is going to be my top read so far in these first 17 days of July.
Okay. Didn't you finish Hail Mary at the beginning of July?
I thought that was June.
That was really early July, wasn't it?
I think it was. I think I finished it that first weekend. So, wow, thanks for reminding me of that. So throwing that into the mix, I would totally pick Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir, who was the author of The Martian and Artemis. That was a fantastic little space read. So if you like science fiction, it is so good. And I did write my review. My review is up on my blog, which is thebookshelf.substack.com. Go take a look at that. But yes, if I add that into the three, then definitely Project Hail Mary would be my favorite of July.
Nice.
And you talked about your blog.
Course.
Where's your blog located at?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get to plug your blog, then I get to plug mine. it's no rare. I've been updating it a few times recently. So you can find my blog, lizzieslittlebooknook.co.uk.
Blog be called the same thing that your Instagram handle is.
I know, it's clever. Yeah, clever. It makes it easy for people to remember.
Yeah. I just made things difficult for myself. It's all right.
You could always just change your website domain.
that I could. Yep. I'd have to ask.
Get azdoesitbookworm.co.uk.
Yeah, I can become a UK page.
Or .com.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that kind of wraps up our What You're Reading section. So we're going to take another quick short commercial break. And then when we come back, we will get right into our topic of the day, which is beach reads. We're back. It's time to enjoy some beach read relaxation. All right. So, Lizzie, get us started on this.
Yeah. So, as you know, the topic of the month is beach reads. And we started looking, first of all, obviously, what beach read exactly means, because there's so many different meanings of what a beach read actually is. Now, we found quite an interesting article, which is from last summer. And it was on a website called Book Riot, who I follow for quite a while now. I went to a book convention in New York about 5-6 years ago now, which they held as really good. But they did quite a lot of research, and they discovered that beach read, actually the term, began as a marketing tool for publishers. It was first used in the summer of 1990, so we're talking 31 years ago now.
Oh, there's no way that 1990 was 31 years ago. Oh, my word.
I know. It's a scary thought. And obviously now, almost every magazine and website publishes summer book lists, and beach read has become such a mainstream term. In publishing terms, it's now used to refer to like blockbuster books published in the summer, so kind of the most anticipated books coming out. And then it kind of is changed over time. It's amalgamated into describing like a certain type of book that will have mass appeal and isn't really particularly intellectually stimulating. But I'll let Holly carry on with the kind of some more interesting facts and interesting information that we found out from kind of from all our research.
Yeah, it's really interesting because a lot of times these beach reads are classified as like women's fiction. So those, you know, the romance, the contemporary books and novels that really feature a like kind of that dominating female character, you know, the woman who's going through something, who's trying to overcome something or trying to, you know, fix or, you know, engage in a relationship. You know, but it's, and it tends to be, you know, according to this article, it really does tend to be books by women, about women, and they tend to be a little bit lighter reading. So, you know, and this is, we're really kind of talking like in the traditional sense when, you know, when you're trying to define what a traditional book read is, that's really where these concepts kind of fall into. But at the same time, you know, there's nothing wrong with women's fiction. It's, you know, as Lizzie said, like sometimes they're considered not that intellectually stimulating, but I think the people who would kind of pick that up and kind of like try to like say negative things about beach reads or women's fiction in general don't realize that sometimes the value in those books is the ability to escape reality. It is the ability to really just have something that is an easy read. It's lighthearted, it's fun, it's engaging and captivating and pulls you in, and it allows you just to have a break from reality. Because isn't that why we travel to the beach and lay on the water, like on the sand anyways? Is to escape from reality for a couple hours?
Exactly. I mean, as you say, sometimes having a nice, light, easy read is a great way to escape and just to kind of travel to a different place for a bit and just forget real life. So, I completely agree with everything. Just because it's not intellectually stimulating doesn't mean that it's not fun and interesting.
And doesn't mean it doesn't make you think about things, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
People We Meet on Vacation is kind of one of the big 2021 summer beach reads. It wasn't intellectually stimulating when I read it, but it definitely made me think because it made me think of all the places I want to travel. So, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It made you want to think and imagine your travels. So,
yeah.
I think every book makes you think about something or other. So, I think the term intellectually, like not intellectually stimulating, is such a kind of derogatory term that can't really be used on any book. Maybe like, I don't know, kids books,
exactly.
Certain kids books maybe. But when it comes to adult books, there's always something that makes you think most of the time.
And I also think some people, like when it comes to beach reads, are probably also going to think like, you know, smutty, like really, you know, explicit sex and things like that in those books as well, which isn't really the case either.
No.
A lot of them are traditionally like little rom-coms, but you know, those romantic comedy type books, which may have you know the acknowledgement of sex or a sex scene, but they don't tend to be the hot and steamy, you know, you need a fan to fan yourself off because you're so hot after you've read it. But it's more like, you know, quick and it's because it's not the bulk of the story. The story isn't revolving around the sex of it. It's revolving around, you know, the relationship, the development of the relationship, you know, the conflict that's trying to be overcome through the storyline. So, so then kind of now got kind of like the history of it, and we kind of talked a little bit when we were talking about that article about the traditional, you know, stereotypical beach reads, but that's not what everybody reads,
No, exactly. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, and we were saying that a beach read really is almost a comfort read. It's what you enjoy. It's something that is going to pull you in and to engage you in that topic, because that's what you want. When you go to the beach, you want something you're going to enjoy, something that's going to be fun for you. And I did a post earlier on the week asking people what their comfort reads were. And it was really interesting seeing kind of the amount of different genres. We had fantasy, we had historical fiction, we had sci-fi. We had obviously the typical kind of contemporary romance. And then we had people saying crime and thriller. So it shows that beach reads, you really can't put like a tag, you can't put a label on it. Yes, you have the traditional contemporary romance beach reads, but a beach read can be whatever you want it to be. It's personal to each person, depending on their likes and their enjoyments.
Absolutely, you know, and just because, you know, personally, I don't know if I would consider a thriller or a horror as a beach read, because I don't know if I would necessarily find that calming or relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, some other people might. And, you know, whatever you want to read, like, in that, you know, beach state, it's you're right. It's that comfort read. It's a mood read. Like, what do you want to read? You know, like I said earlier, I'm not a huge, you know, rom-com genre person, which is the traditional, you know, beach read. I would have enjoyed reading A Curse So Dark and Lonely at the beach. I would have enjoyed reading Project Hail Mary at the beach. You know, when I went to the beach last week, I had We Are the Brennans with us, which isn't a rom-com, but it is, it's more of a contemporary book.
Yeah.
So I guess it might fall on the edges of a traditional beach read, but it really does come down, like, to what your interest at that moment is. Where do you find comfort? Where do you want to escape to and get away from?
Exactly, yeah, and I completely agree.
Yeah, so let's talk about some, like, kind of like those staycation beach reads, those books that are kind of beach reads that are, you know, written and set in our necks of the woods.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, I don't know what it's like in America, but this over here, COVID is still quite prevalent and there are still a lot of restrictions on holidays. You can go on holidays to certain countries, but you do have to self-isolate for 2 weeks, either when you get there, when you're there, when you arrive, before you go, or even when you get back. So it does limit holidays somewhat this year. So we probably will see a lot more staycations in the UK. How is it over in America with restrictions for that kind of thing?
So we're doing pretty good with COVID. numbers are fluctuating. You know, there's still that huge push for people to get vaccinated. We didn't have any issues. So we live in Arizona, so we went to California last week for our holiday. And, you know, we drove, we didn't have to quarantine, we didn't even have to wear masks. Masks
yeah.
Right now are optional. Everything was open. You know, we could have gone to any of the amusement parks, like Disneyland is open, Universal Studios is open, you know, SeaWorld is open. So all of, like, the touristy, let's go to an amusement
yeah.
park, you know, we didn't go to those, we went to a water park. And it was packed, like absolutely packed, and it was ridiculous. So it was probably the worst experience of our entire week, but that's a whole nother podcast that we would need to have to talk about that. But yeah, we didn't really have any restrictions, and, you know, we're currently trying to plan our vacation for next year, and,
yeah.
you know, we were trying to decide between if we were talking about coming and going to the UK. We were actually talking about going to
UK.
Yeah, we were going to London. My son so badly wants to travel to Europe. So it was that, or we talked about Hawaii, but my daughter is terrified of hurricanes, so we'll wait on Hawaii. And then our other option was Disney World in Florida. And so we decided that we're going to look into Disney World because of COVID, because, you know, we don't know what travel restrictions will still be in place next summer. And we don't want to plan a huge trip to England
for it to be canceled.
To Europe. Yeah, to go through it being canceled. So we're going to wait and do a European vacation in 2 years.
Oh, nice. Okay, so staycation beach retreat for the UK. We're going back on topic. That's my fault. One of my favourite ones for the UK set, well, a book set in the UK, is Bill Bryson's Notes from a Small Island. Bill Bryson is a really funny travel writer. So he's written books about travelling around Europe, around America. He's done one on Shakespeare and on the English language. So he just has a way of making things very funny and writing in a very humorous manner. So Notes from Small Island, that was written probably about 15 years ago or maybe more, but that was really good book, very funny. So I definitely recommend that. And they do have a follow-up book he wrote about 10 years later, almost like an updated version, which I'm yet to read as of yet. And also, so talking about kind of locally set books, there was a very interesting book that I found actually through Waterstones called The Book Lover's Bucket List by Caroline Taggart and Tracy Chevalier. Now, this one is really interesting. So it's actually a book about famous bookish locations in the UK. So, I mean, as a bookworm, this sounds absolutely amazing. I'm definitely going to be getting this so that I can start ticking off those places. Because I've been to a few, but I know that there's probably a lot more places that I didn't know about in the UK that was either lived in by a famous author or it been based on that town. So that'd be really fascinating. So how about America? Which books did you find for your staycation beach reads?
So there's so many amazing, like, beachy places to travel in the United States. So, obviously, one of the popular books right now that I see out is Malibu Rising. Pretty sure that takes place in Malibu, which is definitely a beachy place. So, Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid, who also wrote the book that I'm reading now, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. So I'm seeing a lot of really good things about the Malibu Rising. But I think one of the best, when I think of like beachy locations, a place that I would, a setting in the United States that I would love to read books about that are set there would be Nantucket Island off the coast of Massachusetts. So it's kind of like you have the Cape Cod area, which is a huge resort area, and then you have two little islands, Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. And when I lived in Connecticut several years ago, when my husband and I got married, we honeymooned in Martha's Vineyard. But then a couple years ago when we were living in Connecticut, I did a girls' trip to Nantucket Island for their Daffodil Festival. It was thrilling, let me tell you. But it's beautiful. It is like it's a little tiny island, but it's exactly what you would think of as a little beach island. It's like there are little cottages and there's, just bicycles, and it's just beautiful. And I believe that 28 Summers by Ellen Hillebrand is set in Nantucket. That if I read information, I haven't read the book, but if my research is correct, then that relationship that takes place in that book starts at a bachelor party that took place on Nantucket Island or in that area. So that's kind of a big place that I think books, and I don't read a lot in that genre. So and Nantucket Nights by Ellen Hillebrand obviously takes place in Nantucket. So I think that, and I've heard for beach reads that Ellen Hillebrand is kind of her name kept popping up.
Okay.
So I made a post in a Facebook group about beach reads, and I got a lot of recommendations for her with 20 Summers, Golden Girl, things like that. So she may write several books that kind of take place up in that area.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of islands, I forgot there is also another one, which is It's quite nice because it's also a very beachy read. It is set a lot of the times on the beach, which is one I actually read recently called Summer Days and Sea Breezes by Carol Matthews. Now, this one's actually set on the Isle of Wight. So it's just a little island just off England, just to the south of England. And I've been there quite a few times. So I used to live literally just across the water from it. So it's a very easy day trip. So that one is very much your traditional kind of contemporary rom-com. And yeah, that one's set in the UK. So that's a brilliant, a really good beach read for a nice little staycation.
That's awesome. So yeah, so there's quite a few kind of books out there that I think, you know, would really be great when, you know, if you just, you can't really travel very far. So with COVID and restrictions and things, so being able to escape to other places and other locations,
yeah.
It's one way to experience it, you know, without really the ability to go there yet. So.
Exactly. Of course, if you do have to stay at home and if you do have to have a staycation, you may not want to read a book about your own country. So how about the beach reads that transport you to other countries? Which books did you come up with there, Holly?
I, again, struggled with this one because I am not a big kind of beach read traditional sense. But if you're interested more into, like, kind of mysteries and thrillers, I think a really fun – and I think I probably would have read it on a beach because it's not super scary and it wasn't super complex. But the Guest List by Lucy Foley – is more of a mystery thriller, but it was more, it wasn't as complicated. So it was a much easier read than some thrillers or mystery books. There you had a very limited number of characters because they were guests at a wedding on an island. But it takes you to the coast of Ireland on this kind of like mysterious little mist-filled island. It's kind of spooky and crazy, but I loved it, and it was, you know, being able to get transported to this little Irish island was kind of cool. What about you?
I've got to admit, I went through a stage quite a few years ago of reading so many kind of rom-coms and contemporary romances set in different countries. I am a massive fan of Italy and the Mediterranean, so I read quite a lot in those areas. So I've got things like, I've got a travel book called Sweet Honey, Bitter Lemons by Matthew Fort. That is a travel, like a comedy travel log about the guy Matthew Fort, who travels around Sicily by Vespa, so by a little scooter. That's quite a good one. And that one really kind of puts you into the action and makes you like imagine everything and makes you want to go to Sicily and enjoy all the pasta and the pizza and all the delicious food and drinks. One of my favorite books ever, which I will always recommend, is one that's based in Rome, and that's called Food of Love by Anthony Capella. I am a massive foodie, so anything kind of foodie fiction I love. This one's kind of like a contemporary romance / foodie fiction. So it's about a young American student who goes to Rome to study art and to basically to go to this university, and she meets this guy who works as a waiter at this big restaurant in Rome, and he wants to impress her. So he basically gets his best friend, who is a chef at the restaurant, to cook the meals for her, and he pretends like it's him cooking it and not his best friend. So it's really interesting. It's lots of funny moments, but the way that they describe the food is just, it leaves you hungry. It's so seductive and so kind of really descriptive with each meal, and even the meals that I wouldn't particularly like the sweetbreads and the kind of organs of the animals that I don't usually like the sound of, they actually somehow make attractive, which is a very impressive piece of work.
You know, it's funny because you're talking about like the food and stuff, and then it made me think of a book that you know, is set in different countries. It's also a really popular movie, but Eat, Pray, Love.
I had that on my list.
Yeah. Sorry to steal your thunder, but Eat, Pray, Love is one that jumped to my mind by Elizabeth Gilbert. Absolutely.
Love that book. Mm-hmm. And the movie was brilliant as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one that it can really transport you to all the countries that she goes to. So, yeah, I completely agree with that
because,
one.
It was Italy, Indonesia. Where else did she go?
I think India? That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah, Italy, India, and Indonesia.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, no, that was a brilliant film.
Yeah.
And the book was just so poignant. She also did a follow-up called Committed.
Oh.
Because it's actually about her life. That's actually her life. That's what happened in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So Committed is when she gets married to the guy that she meets and things like that. So that's a really interesting little kind of sequel to the book.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I didn't know she had a sequel out for that.
Yeah. So other than that, I mean, I've got a few Italian foodie ones that I can easily list. But I did have one recommendation, which actually reminded me that one really good beach read, which I find to transport you to a different country, are a lot of the books by an author called Santa Montefiore. So I've read Last Voyage of the Valentina and The French Gardener, and she has a really good way of just transporting you to these countries, no matter where she writes about. That was actually recommended by Pearl in her books. She said that was her kind of her go-to beach read that she enjoyed reading. So other than that, I think the last one I've got is also a little bit different, not quite a contemporary, not contemporary romance, but it is a contemporary romance, but it is more foodie again. Mm-hmm. Amore and Amoretti, A Tale of Love and Food in Italy by Victoria Cosford. So again, another little kind of easy, light read for being transported to Italy and to the Italian way of life, which I really would love to do right now.
Transported to another country, it's gonna be Italy.
Hundred percent.
Food, and you know, it's funny because I married into an Italian family. They're 100% Italian, and my husband's stepmother makes authentic homemade pasta. They classic New York Italians. Like every time I would see his stepmother, she'd be like, "Oh, you know, you need to eat more." And and I can't do the accent, but the New York accent for people who've smoked, their entire life. I mean, you can make that and sound that out in your head. I love that culture. I love the food and. Going to Italy is definitely on our bucket list of things to do, but I kind of want to do it after the kids are out of the house, so I don't have to
definitely. I went to Rome about 10 years ago. That was amazing. And I've also been to Sorrento, and I've done the whole Amalfi Coast and stuff. So that was an amazing experience, and the food is just. You will not get proper Italian food. I mean, unless you're with an Italian family, you will not get proper Italian food anywhere else. It was just absolutely stunning. And the beaches are really beautiful. And yeah, no, but I would not recommend driving in Italy because it is terrifying going on the roads. It is absolutely terrifying, especially on the Amalfi Coast, where at times you are pretty close to the edge of the cliff. Ooh. And you're like, please don't fall off the cliff. Please don't fall off the cliff.
obviously we want to go to Rome, but then we want to visit where my husband's father's family is from, which is Palermo, Sicily. So we need to hit Palermo because on both my husband's parent side it was his grandparents that came over to the United States. So his family has only been here for this is like the second, third generation now. So they're very recent to the United States. So we want to go and see, where his dad's family came from in Palermo, Sicily, and eat all the Sicilian food we can possibly shove in our faces. And then his mom's side of the family, I believe, is from the Florence area, which is really the opposite end. So I'm hoping that we'll just do more flying than driving. That's my hope.
That sounds like an amazing trip. Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, adult trip would be the best thing because then you can just have lots of wine and have lots of cocktails.
Exactly. All right, so based on all this beach reading talk that we've just done, if you had to recommend one beach read book, it could be a new release, it could be something that was released a couple years ago, it could be, an old one. What is a beach read you would recommend?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it would have to be Food of Love by Anthony Capella, just because that one is that's one that I've reread about 3 or 4 times. It's just one of my comfort reads that I constantly go back to just because I love it so much. The writing is beautiful. The description is so concise and so as I say, the food description is just so seductive and attractive that do not read it when you're hungry, basically. So that would be mine. How about you?
Well, you picked a food book because I was probably going to say the Eat, Pray, Love, but you already have a food book.
Nice.
So I'm going to go with the current popular one, which is People We Meet on Vacation. It's just, it's a great read. It's a good friends to lovers book if you like that kind of relationship dynamic. And you travel. Travel to Canada. You travel to New Orleans. You get to go on these little adventures with them.
Okay.
And you get to go to Palm Springs, but it's not all the fantastic aspects of vacation. Like, they do focus a lot on some of the bad things that can happen while you're on vacation when nothing seems to go right. And that's definitely some laughable moments. So it kind of has a little bit of everything. So if you want to, read both of them back to back, because then you'll be hungry. So read the foodie book first, and then when you read the other one, you can just eat the food while you're reading it, and it's the best of both worlds.
Sounds good. We do also, of course, recommend Eat, Pray, Love, because that's another wonderful beach read. It's really nice because it's got that mixture of you've got travel, you've got food, and you've got emotion as well. You've got that kind of emotional turmoil that she goes through after her breakup. So that's really kind of fascinating. It really makes you think, and it's just really nice kind of combination, like nice hybrid of different genres.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're wrapping up our show. So what we are going to do, it's kind of like, I'm going to say tradition, but this is only our second episode. So can it really be tradition yet? I think so. We are going to, just like we did on our last episode, end our topic section with a speed round of this or that. So this is going to be our this or that beach read edition.
Okay, are you ready, Holly?
Whew. I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. Sandy beach or stony beach?
Sandy beach.
It's got to be sandy. Romance or thriller?
Romance.
Yeah, romance. Mm-hmm. Paddleboarding or kayaking?
Kayaking, for sure.
Yeah, kayaking. Beach chair or beach towel?
I've never used one. I've always used a beach towel, but I think I would prefer a beach chair.
Yeah, I've got to go beach chair. It's just so much comfier. Kick shoes off as soon as you get to the sand, or keep them on until you find your spot?
Oh, kick the shoes off as soon as you hit the sand.
Oh, I've got to admit, keep them on until you find your spot. Otherwise, I'd probably end up losing them. Swimming or surfing?
Swimming.
Yeah, swimming. Warm summer nights or early summer mornings?
I am not a morning person, so warm summer nights for sure.
Oh, completely. Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not a morning person, so yeah, warm summer nights. Snorkeling or scuba diving?
Probably snorkeling.
Okay, I haven't done either, but I'd say scuba diving, because I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I haven't done either. Yeah,
Beachside hotel or beach cottage off the ocean front?
Oh, beach cottage off the ocean front.
Yeah, completely agree. Beach cottage off the ocean front. Nice restaurants or local street food?
I am a local street food girl. Absolutely.
Oh, 100% local street food.
Yeah.
The more authentic, the better.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's one of the best things about traveling or going someplace new is eating the local food.
Exactly. I always avoid the tourist hotspots. I never like going into those tourist traps.
Oh, yeah.
Or the, like, yeah, I walk down the side streets and find a nice little local restaurant.
Mm-hmm. It's the best. It's so much.
So, yeah, that is this or that. That's the end of it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, Well, thank you for listening to the podcast. Obviously, as always, you can catch us at my Instagram is at Lizzie's Little Book Nook, and the blog is lizzieslittlebooknook.co.uk. And Holly, where can they find you?
They can find me at AZ Desert Bookworm on Instagram, and then my blog is thebookshelf.substack.com. And our
awesome.
Our next episode is going to drop August 16th. We're really excited. We are looking to have an author interview for our topic. So
we are indeed.
Yeah. So we're always looking for people who are interested in making some guest appearances or getting some shout outs. So please follow our podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can just find us at Speaking Literally Podcast. And you can find the podcast if you're listening to it. Great, you found us, but we are available on all the platforms that you would find your podcasts. Any final
we
thoughts?
We are indeed. Well, that has been a very warm read. I am melting in this heat. So,
what is it, 27 degrees Celsius, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I believe right now, let's just double check. I think it is 27 degrees right now. But we're meant to get up to like 29 degrees by the end of the weekend. So 80, for us, that's really hot. 80, that 80, is a sweltering. Fahrenheit? Yeah, 27 degrees right now. Oh, no, sorry. Tomorrow it's meant to be 31 degrees. So, yeah.
So in Fahrenheit, that would be like what, mid-80s? Upper 80s?
I will check. That's going to be, 87.8. So... But it is humid. It is very humid. But yeah, so thanks guys for listening. Any final thoughts from you, Holly?
No, we appreciate you guys taking some time to listen to our episode, and hopefully you got some good recommendations to add to your TBR. And we'll be back on August 26th, or not 26th, what am I thinking? August 16th. August 16th is when we will be back with our next episode, so we can't wait to share more of our love for books with you. So we will see you in a couple weeks.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.